my firm foundation, the rock on which I stand. When everything around me is shaken, I've never been more glad that I put my faith in Jesus, 'cause he's never let me down. He's faithful through generations. So why would he fail now? He won't.
Hallelujah.
He won't.
And I still got joy in chaos. I've got peace that makes no sense. So I won't be going under. I'm not held by my own strength, 'cause I built my life on Jesus, and he's never let me down. He's faithful in every season. So why would he fail? I've never been more glad that I put
Well, listen, a few years ago, I was listening to this sermon, and this pastor began to talk about his high school senior year schedule. And in reality, y'all, this man was bragging. He thought he had the best schedule known to man. And the only reason that he could be so confident in his schedule was because he didn't know what my senior year schedule was. And now I know there's some of you who might think that you have a good senior year schedule. Listen, period one, vocals. Period two, gym. Period three, instrumental or band. Period four, video editing. Let me tell you how happy and excited I was for the schedule, because y'all, I thought I gamed the system, because every single one of these classes were university credits. Students, you might want to need to plug your ears for a moment, but I can proudly tell you, unproudly tell you this morning, that the only reason I got into university, vocals, gym, band, video editing. In fact, you probably have figured out I didn't take high school that seriously, and I really kind of saw high school as a place for me to socialize and for me to play sports. Listen, I understand that it's also a place for me to learn. I didn't really figure that out until after I graduated. However, whenever there was a new concept that was being taught, as you've probably guessed, I would be distracted by my friends, or I'd be distracting my friends. I'd be trying to get the attention from the girl that's across the room from me, or I was trying to get my hands on that envied hall pass. And then, without fail, the next day, I would walk into the class and there would be a pop quiz. I hated pop quizzes so much. And as we probably can tell, it's my fault. It was my fault that I hated pop quizzes. But these quizzes are in place to determine if we were getting the concepts that were being taught. The person who sat at the very front of the room and who diligently took notes, all the way to the person who sat at the back of the room and who hasn't opened up their textbook the entire semester and who really hasn't taken any notes at all, everybody was getting that test. Something I figured out also after I graduated is that testing doesn't stop. You're tested in your communication skills when you are met with conflict. You're tested in your patience when you when your brother takes your clothes for the third day in a row. You are tested in your budgeting when you want to go on that special trip. You're tested in your driving skills when you hit that ice patch. You're tested in your resilience when the life that you thought you were building seemingly begins to fall apart in front of you. And testing is exactly what is taking place in the passage that we're going to be looking at this morning. We'll be looking at Matthew chapter 7, starting in verse 24. It says this, it says, "Everyone who hears these words of mine," Jesus speaking, "and does them will be like a wise man who builds his house upon the rock. The rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." This portion of scripture serves as the accumulation of all of Jesus's teaching on the Sermon of the Mount. It is the conclusion of Jesus's most famous speech. And it's one of the most important teachings that we have in the Gospels. This speech touches on the concerns of daily existence, poverty, hunger, generosity, the validity of the law, humbleness, and the beatitudes within them. Within this sermon seeks to raise these concerns to another dimension. The Sermon on the Mount calls the church to live in accordance to kingdom values, with disciples living underneath God's rule rather than societal norms. The sermon critiques Pharisees' legalism and demands a true righteousness, which is a righteousness of the heart that the law in itself cannot produce. On the tail end of the sermon that spans over three chapters encompassing 110 verses, we run into a text that we're looking at this morning. And Jesus is contrasting two different people. These two people build their structures either in obedience or disobedience. Listen, the fate of the structure is not due to building materials. The fate of the structure is not due to the expertise of the builder. The fate of the structure is not based on how many stories tall the structure is. The fate of the structure is all due to either obedience or disobedience. So look at the very first thing that Jesus says. The wise builder, Jesus says, everyone who then hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who builds his house on the rock. Of the foolish builder, everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. I'm not sure if you've noticed this yet, but everybody has something to say. If you're going through crisis and you post it on one of your social platforms or talk to a variety of people, you will get flooded with responses from people who have ideas on what you should be doing. Most of what people are going to tell you are generally pretty good and pretty well-meaning. I mean, you have your boss, your spouse, your children. Even the stranger on the street will have pretty well-meaning opinions, but sometimes they can be so polarizing that it can be confusing. As I was preparing for this message, I did a quick Google search on why do bad things happen to me. Now, to be clear, I'm okay. Okay, I was just doing a Google search, okay? Because when people ask this question, generally the response is empathetic. So the website BetterHelp had a list of 10 daily challenges that you could do to prevent bad things, such as eating healthy and exercising. Another website said bad things are happening to you because you are expecting it. WikiHow said, among other things, said it's because of unrealistic expectations, being surrounded by negative people, or having an all or nothing mindset. Reddit was interesting, to say the least. And still another website was filled with new age exercises to get rid of your bad energy. Now, when you look at what was encouraged from this Google search, some of the advice was good. Some of it, like the last idea, not so much. Throw in what your best friend might say or your spouse, and it can leave your head spinning. Jesus said, those who hear these words of mine. What I find so fascinating is the contrast between those who built their house on the sand and those who built their house on the rock. See, in the past, I attributed people who had built their house on the rock as followers of Christ. Like, he's our rock, he's our fortress, he's our source, he is our refuge. And then those who built their house on the sand, in the past, I attributed to them as being people who were not followers of Christ, that they did not have a relationship with God. Well, that's not true, though. Catch this morning. The immediate people that Jesus was talking to heard the Sermon on the Mount. They heard Jesus' teaching on prayer. They heard Jesus' teaching on the validity of the law. They heard Jesus' teaching on anger and humility and lust and in trusting God. There is familiarity between them and Christ. They knew Christ. In fact, they had traveled to hear him preach. These aren't strangers to Christ's teaching. Now, what's interesting is when you think about the formation of sand. See, thousands of years ago, that sand was a rock. But it was through the constant exposure of the elements that that rock began to break down and turn into the product of sand that we see today. I tell you this morning that those who built their house on the sand are those who have chosen a watered-down foundation. People who say they're followers of Christ, but over time they have allowed the constant pressures of societal pressures, the political pressures, pressures from friends, workplaces, some family members to begin to erode the rock, and now they've picked and chosen which aspects of Christianity, which aspects of God's word that they should build their lives on. Today, let me reaffirm for you that in this church, God's word is the foundation in which we will build our lives off of. If I'm leading this church, the word of God will be the foundation which everything will be built off of. I will also work hard to ensure that this sometimes complicated text is relevant to our lives so that the youngest person in attendance all the way to the oldest person in attendance can see how God's word is applicable to them. The psalmist tells us that there is a blessing that comes to those whose life is governed by the law of God. And then that man, that person, will be like a tree whose roots go down. They are firm and secure, which is very important because at some point, storms come. And this is exactly what happens next. For the wise man, Jesus says, the rain fell, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. For the foolish man, the rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew, and it beat on that house. Both structures experience the exact same storm. The location of the house doesn't shield you from trials. Trials come to those who built their house on the sand. Trials come to those who built their house on the rock. In fact, you cannot justify the additional work that it takes to build your house on a rock unless you can accept the inevitability of storms in your life. If there are no storms, sand is as good of a foundation as anything else. But I want you to keep in mind that testing and the storm is not just now, it's also in the future. Is eschatological, where God tests what you built your life on. Today, we're focusing on now so that you can have a firm foundation then. Those who listened to God and those who didn't listen to God all experience storms. We can get into the mindset sometimes that storms only come to those who build their lives on the sand. I mean, they didn't listen to God, so bad things are happening to them simply because of their disobedience. So if I'm experiencing hardship, I lost my job, if my car breaks down, my sister gets sick, if I'm having trouble paying my bills, if I don't get into that program of my dreams, or if I get passed up for promotion, then I can begin to analyze where I might have been disobedient to God. Honestly, there can be some benefit to that, but we won't get into that this morning. I hope you can see that the people who built their house on the sand and the person who built their house on the rock all experience the same storm. They experience rain, flooding, and windstorms. Can I tell you this morning? And there might be one or two people who need to hear this today. The presence of a storm in your life is not indicative of your relationship with God. The presence of a storm in your life does not dictate whether or not you are loved by God. The presence of a storm is not the evidence of if you've heard God incorrectly. The presence of a storm in your life is the evidence that you are alive. And life happens to everyone. What happens when a storm comes is that it begins to reveal foundations. In this story, Jesus isn't talking about mild weather. He's referring to heavy rains, flooding, and violent winds, all of which would expose faults in any foundation. December 10th, 2023, a tornado ripped through Clarksville, Tennessee. And when the weather teams went to Tennessee to observe the destruction so they can determine the strength of their tornado, they discovered that many houses on Eva Drive had been shifted off of their foundation. While the teams were originally impressed by the strength of the tornado, they quickly realized that it wasn't necessarily a strong tornado, but it was a weak foundation that caused the destruction. They discovered that many of the houses were secured to their foundation by, catch this, construction tape and nails. So when the storm came, it didn't stand a chance. What was left was the proof of a poor foundation. Psalm 127, verse 1 and 2 says, unless the Lord builds a house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchmen stay awake in vain. It is in vain that you rise up early and go late to rest, eating the bread of anxious toil, for he gives to his beloved sleep. What the psalmist is trying to tell us is that the attempt to build our house ourselves is absolutely pointless. Success only comes from the hand of God. Waking up early does not help. Going to bed early does not help. The strength of your financial portfolio does not help. Your degrees do not help. Taking your vitamins, going to the gym, hiring a personal trainer does not help. Unless what you do is submitted to God, and unless God comes first in your life, then at some point, it will lead to anxiety if the foundation of your life is not built. upon God. Let me ask you a question this morning. When the storms of your life come, because they will, at some point they will, and your foundation is exposed, is what has shown proof that you have built your life on a firm foundation? Or is it proof that you've heard the words of Jesus and obeyed? Or is it proof that you've heard the words of Jesus and decided to do your own thing? Jesus shows us the result of both the wise man and the foolish builder. After the storm, Jesus says this. He says, "Of the wise man, it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. Of the foolish builder, he says, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." For Jesus, the proof, what you build your life on, what we build your house on, is shown after the storm has gone through. Over here is a game that many of us know. Who's played Jenga before? All right. Now, if I wanted to, the goal of it is to build it as high as possible. And if I wanted to knock it down, I wouldn't go for the top of it. What I would look at is the bottom. I'd go for the foundation. There are some people in this room who you grew up in a Christian home. Your parents prayed with you every night. They read the Bible with you every night. And you started your life off with a pretty good, pretty solid foundation. There are others of you who you came to faith later on in your relationship with God, in your life, and you've built your relationship with God on a pretty solid foundation. You decided that you were going to have that God's word as the foundation. And then maybe one day, as someone has been discipling you and walking with you, you hear them say, well, if you just love God, bad things won't happen to you. And then someone that you know who is one of the most godly people in the world gets sick. Well, if that's not true, I wonder what else is not true. Maybe you go to university and your roommate is an atheist, and you begin to realize that the way that they're living their life is so much different than the way that you've lived your life. And so you begin to wonder what else is out there. You begin to explore some other things. And then you maybe started your first job, and one of your coworkers, you're in the break room, you begin to start talking to them, and the coworker begins to say, hey, you know what? I used to go to church, but I couldn't reconcile the fact that a good, loving, caring God would actually send people to hell. And you're like, you know what? Maybe it's time for me to start to deconstruct, break down my faith. And so here comes out another one. Next thing you know, after time and conversations, you have less of a foundation. Is there anybody anxious right now? It's what it feels like to have no foundation. And then at some point, this happens. At some point, a storm comes. And it doesn't have to be very hard. Doesn't have to be very big. And what happens sometimes is we look at this and we're like, God, this is your fault. And we use this as a way to distance ourselves from God. The thing is, this isn't God's fault. This is the result of a weak foundation. It's the result of a poor foundation. You might say, well, it's God's desire to heal. That's right, it is, but God is also sovereign, and he chooses, and there are sometimes that things happen that we just don't understand, and one day we get to figure it out as we talk to God, but it might not be today. You might say, you know what? God will accept me the way I am, no matter what. Well, he'll bring you into the house of God for sure as you are, but he also is a holy God who brings us on a journey of sanctification so that we can be conformed to the image of Christ. And so there's these two things that we've got to figure out. And sometimes what happens is we're left with a weak foundation because we're choosing one aspect of Christianity, one aspect of the Bible. So if you're here this morning and your life looks like this, well, first off, there's some amazing people in this room who really can help you in a moment of putting some things back together and helping you build your life off of a firm foundation. Maybe you came to faith later on in your life. And or recently, well, there's some people who will make sure that what you are building your life on is firm so that when a storm comes, it can stay secure. You might be here this morning and things are going pretty well for you. Things are going great. There's been no issues. And you think you've got a firm foundation. Well, there's people in this room right now who would be more than capable of looking at your structure and ensuring that there are no watered down aspects to it so that what you've built your life on can stand the storm. But what's also really important is that here in the city of New Market, there are so many people who have a broken foundation, who are living with no foundation at all, and their life is so broken down. Well, Jesus can transform every single situation, and we can help people build their life of Christ. I'm not going to set up the entire game of Jenga again. So we've got the location of the house. We've got the storm the house faces, and we've got the outcome of the house. But what did Jesus say? Jesus said, everyone who hears these words of mine and then, catch this, acted upon it. We've got to give Jesus a chance to be heard. The challenge in our world right now is that everyone is fighting to tell you what you should be doing with your life. Our culture says, make as much money as you can, so that you can have the newest, brightest, baddest, flashiest things. Let the world stop and stare at what you've accomplished. God says, hey, listen, it's okay for you to have money, but money cannot have you. It cannot be first in your life. Let the world stop and stare at what God has accomplished in your life. Our culture says, do what makes you happy. God says, true happiness can only be found through being who you were created, and this is discovered through close relationship with God. So in the midst of culture telling us what to do, and its often conflicting message to our Christian worldview, how do we recognize God's voice? Well, we get close to the shepherd. John 10:27 says, my sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me. Jesus said that sheep are familiar with his voice, and they follow where he leads. So there we have it. How do we build our life on the rock? Well, we first give Jesus a chance to be heard, and then we follow where he leads. It's pretty simple, right? No, it is not simple at all. It's something that's so easy in theory, but so hard in practicality. The busyness of life hits, and you've had every intention to put Jesus' voice first, and then you realize that it's been a month since you opened up your Bible. Your job might be asking you to do something that's kind of in the gray area. And although you know you should say no, you also might be getting a promotion soon. And saying no to this might sink your chances. You didn't manage your time well, and now you have a test to write. The person beside you, their writing is gigantic. They're just asking for you to look. And you need that grade to get that scholarship. When the reality of life hits, are we able to stand firm? When Bree and I bought our house in Airdrie, we had to hire a home inspector. And this guy went through every aspect of our house in order to ensure that it was safe for us to live in. After this, he took us around our house to show us different areas that needed to be fixed. And his inspection revealed that our deck was in severe need of repair. So it was something that we would not have noticed straight away. And in fact, when I rebuilt our deck, many pieces of the deck just came off as I kind of just barely touched it. These issues were revealed because I invited somebody else to look at the foundation of our house. Catch this morning. While your desire might be to build a foundation on the rock, strong community will keep you on the rock during turbulent times. This is something that we will work hard to develop. We want to ensure that there's ample opportunity for each person to be involved in community, to ensure that each person is able to find their people and to be truly known. Let me ask you a few questions this morning as we close. Who have you invited into your life who is able to look at the foundation of your life? Another way to ask this question is, who is your community? Like, who are the people that you call if you get a promotion, or you call if you lose your job? Who do you call when you consider making a family decision, even though these people really are not family? Who knows you well enough to be aware when things are not going well, and they have a place in your life where they're able to speak into your life? Who would know if you are watering down the rock and watering down what God said? Let's read this again, and let's pray. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on a rock. The rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on the house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Let us be like the wise men.